Father, remember many years ago and many, many times when we used to sing Only Believe, and we sang it with the understanding that the great author of vindication would be in our midst with vindication, often losing sight of the fact, perhaps more often than not realizing till years later that what it was all about was the great vindicator vindicating himself and the prophet, that the word might be brought to us. So Lord, after all these years, the opening of the seals, the final departure of Brother Branham in 1965, almost 30 years, there ought to be more of a tremendous welling up in our hearts of reality and desire than ever there was 30 years ago, because now we know that the whole program, all that was brought to our attention, was for this word which we have tonight given us by vindication. May we ever sing All Things Are Possible, Only Believe, in anticipation of the restored word being taught to a people, that it may be that people that are ready, truly prepared for the great hour of the resurrection and the rapture, knowing in our hearts we're being prepared now. We have to be there. As Brother Branham said that time, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there. By the grace of God, I won't stand in her way. Help us, Lord, to be that earnest and sincere, because we know positively there is a bride, a prepared group being made ready for that day, and so that those who are gone ahead cannot be made perfect without us, thereby we brought to that position they can come forth, and we all together ascend to the great wedding supper. We know this is reality because it has definitely been manifested, definitely proven. May we never forget that, Lord. So many things are unproven. So many things that are inconsequential are proven, but they don't add a thing to us. They're just here to be used and pass away with the use thereof. And when we come back, Lord, even in new heavens and new earth, and if all of those things in the sense of the elements and those things that were here at the time of the Garden of Eden, perhaps even other things, and they're going to only be here, Lord, because of some little necessity, some little filling in. But what is great is going to be the life which is of God and the purposes and those things which are fulfilled. May we have that attitude even tonight and the days to come. So we commend ourselves to you tonight, Lord, and we're happy to do so. We're very prosperous in that. We love you and we rejoice in our gathering together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 7 of Seated Discrepancy, and of course, my preambles, I take my time with, write them out. I sometimes speak on them at length. The main thing is I feel they're very important for you to understand much of what lies within the message. It gets your thinking straightened out, at least I trust it does, because as I look at this, I try to find what might be best expressed in order to carry us all along in this message. We're only on page 7 at this time. And of course, some have not had the previous messages. You may be only up to 3 or 4, and sort of leaves you in the dark unless we try to catch you up. So this is the Seat of Discrepancy, number 7, March 4, 1995. In this message we find Brother... Now listen carefully. In this message we find Brother Branham challenging. Now, you don't hear him say, I challenge you. He's used the term truth. But this is a challenging message. In this message we find Brother Branham challenging and proving the error of the concept that the parable of the sower and the seed is only a graphic description of how we have good people and bad people, people of God and people of Satan, and their final destination, rather than understanding that this teaching is setting forth the reality, the present reality, irrefutable, that the human race as we know it from the Garden of Eden to right now, at this hour, came from two sources, two fathers, but through one mother called Eve. The scripture declares Eve to be the mother of all living. But nowhere can you find that Adam is said to be the father of all living. In fact, he says contrary. So the human race as we know it, from just prior to the flood and then immediately after, contains two seeds from two different sources. And it matters not where that seed is planted. And as long as God has made any kind of provision for it, those two seeds will come forth into a harvest. And they will be absolutely different from each other according to their sources or their fathers, because their fathers are different. Though in actual manifestation they can appear identical and as having come from one father and mother, but it is not so. It is the one lump that is spoken of by the Apostle Paul. Now, categorically it says that God is the sower of seed. Or in other words, God absolutely did produce material which housed his very own life, which in turn produced itself in humans starting with Adam, which by virtue of the fact that that seed carried the life of God, all that truly descended from Adam would be the children of God via Adam and God's ordained way, which was the use of Eve. Now, you know that people don't believe that. They simply believe that this is a little story. And all it does is let you know that you can be a child of God or a child of Satan, whichever you sow to. Well, how many of you people sowed to your father? Brilliant. I see you all charming, brilliant people. There's never been anybody like you. You all sowed to your father. You're all a bunch of liars. Of course, you're not liars. You're not fools and idiots. You know your father sowed you. You're the result of his sowing. He's the result of his father's sowing. And if perchance you can trace your lineage plumb back to Adam, you will find that you are a child of God, period. But there's no way you can trace your lineage anywhere. But there are certain earmarks we talk about, and I trust tonight we'll get to at least the main one. It will define you as a child of God in contradistinction to being a child of the devil. Now it is just that simple. And Brother Branham is giving the lie to the common thought. Because far be it from God to ever let the devil sire anybody. He just wouldn't do that. By the time Brother Branham finished bringing his message, It was evident that the Christian or the so-called Christian world had only the vaguest concept of God and reality. So there wasn't anybody at that particular time, the prophet's coming, that was truly acceptable to worship and serve God. Now watch carefully what we said here about God bringing forth his seed. The secret is in Genesis 2 and 7. So we go to Genesis 2 and 7 because remember, Brother Branham is talking about seed and he categorically says one seed came from God and one seed came from the devil. And we know by the Garden of Eden, the only thing that could have come by was the serpent, the beast, who was able to talk. And he was so much like a person, a human being, that he could pass for one, except that he was not like Adam and Eve. That differentiated him. So, in 2 and 7, it's not what I want. Yeah, 2 and 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So here you can see the beginning of propagation through Adam. Now, had God sincerely desired that Adam be not the propagator, he would have left him just the way he was. But with breathing into him the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit, Holy Spirit, became his soul, became his literal life. He was able to pass it on down to many sons and daughters by means of Eve, who did not have this life and ability within herself. And so therefore, no matter how you look at it, you'll never find a female Holy Ghost, because actually the fact of the matter is that Eve was female and she had the Holy Ghost. So, Brother Branham calling God male, he doesn't believe like the people in Florida do. I think maybe the country's too hot and too much water down there. Gets on the brain or something radically wrong. I have no respect for hogwash, brother, sister. If I'm wrong, I'm going to pay my price. But I'm not wrong. 1 Corinthians 15:35 to 45 also gives you a help. But some will say, how are the dead raised up and what body do they come? Fool! That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. But within the grain, the genetic pattern, lies that body. And if nothing interferes with it, and nothing should, it will bring back a perfect plant, which in turn will also form seed, whereby it also propagates in order to bring more bodies, the individuals. Thou sowest, and that which thou sowest not the body. That was going to be but a bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other. Now watch, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So therefore the seed was the head of the body, previous to it, and within it was every single thing through chemical operations to bring forth exactly what God wanted. Now watch what he says about these bodies. All flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of fish, one of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. All kinds of flesh. Men, flesh, beasts, birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. Now you're going to notice in here that it doesn't say they're for reproduction. What he's going to do now is give you a comparison. Let you know something. So that all nature works in harmony, man, you can see where that which was granted intelligence, the intelligence thereof leading it astray through the enemy misses and yet can come back to a great glory, which glory it must have been predestined to, or it could never come to it, because God does not make mistakes. There are celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. One glory of the sun, another of the moon, another of the stars. One star differs from another in glory. So is also the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every single child of Adam has to die. That's why Jesus was in the genealogy of Adam. And in the genealogy of David in the tribe of Judah, in order to fill the complete requirements of whom and what he was to be. And it says distinctly, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all be made alive. And you notice that they'll be raised in a far greater glory and in a far more marvelous position than even when they were here upon earth. Now, I already quoted it, but it's in Luke 3 and 38, where it says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, you know that Abel was replaced by Seth. Abel never had any children. But you will notice that Cain did. And so you will see right off the bat, right at the first, you will see many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. And that is why you will see at every juncture of, like Moses crossing over, and the time of Jesus and now the time of Noah, that the ratio is very, very small. There are indeed very, very few true children of God as against those that are children of the discrepancy. Now, taking this back to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, where Brother Branham is preaching in 36 to 43, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into his house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, tell us fully, make us to know the intricacies of the parable of the tares of the field. Now you notice, because this is a parable, the people cannot accept the fact of serpent seed. Because to accept the fact of serpent seed is to accept the fact of Satan literally being their father. And we'll explain how that happens. And that they have actually no recourse to God. And their lives are completely farcical. So that when the judge stands up and pronounces himself to be a pillar in the community, a man who has kept his vows to his wife and been true to the law, he is no different from the dirty, filthy, moronic, mainlining drug addict who drinks and smokes and rapes and kills. That they're both serpents. So you can see how this parable is twisted. That God doesn't really mean what he said, there's just a lesson in here. See? Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now you might wonder how he's called the Son of Man here, because he is. First man was God, the second Jesus, the third Adam. And remember, in Scripture, we are not told that we were in God. I don't know that I could actually find that at this point. But I can show you where we were in Christ Jesus. And where God said, this day have I started my generations in thee. So therefore, what you're looking at here is the actual truth. He that one, by whom God created all things, who later, I use the term invaded Michael and led in the worship of God. Same one who laid aside his heavenly robes and took upon himself the form of a man, and though he were a son of God, of the caliber of essentiality and intrinsicality, he actually learned obedience. Now, if he were God, he wouldn't have to learn obedience. Would be impossible. So he is that one. This is why you find him fully identifying himself as the author or the source. And then in the book of Hebrews, he is authenticated as one of us with God being his source. Now he said, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom things that offend, and them which that do iniquity. In other words, the kingdom of God is beginning to come back from a shadow to, or a negative to, the positive. Because remember, as Brother Branham said, there is no scripture that tells you that Eden was taken away from the world. God owns this world, period. Eden was his governmental headquarters. And there's a return ever since the time of Luther. Brother Branham identifies one of those messengers, Luther, Wesley, and then Brother Branham. There's been a turning from the negative to the positive. And the kingdom of God, in spite of the fact that it would seem to be making no headway, that much iniquity abounds, and men draw sinners with a cart rope, so that you could not say, surely the kingdom of God is waxing great. You'd say it's waning, but that is not true by any stretch of the imagination. Because Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And that's when the mighty miracles were done in Christ's age by those apostles and himself. The kingdom of Satan was being divided and destroyed. Devils being cast out. And this is the greatest ministry the world's ever seen. So in spite of the fact that we may be impressed wrongly, and it is wrong, that the powers of the enemy have waxed great, so that the power of God is seemingly diminishing, you're entirely wrong. Because Brother Branham said, we have seen the word of God demonstrated in power, but not in its revelation, which we will see it. In other words, the word of God which was demonstrated and vindicated is going to bring forth a bride that is absolutely to the place where, as Brother Branham is sweet, will go over here and she will get out of here without missing one heartbeat or one breath. Now, people aren't prone to believe that. And this is one of the reasons why they're not prone to believe it, because they don't believe this. They do not believe that one lump contains two lives. They simply cannot believe it. They simply cannot believe what God's Word has said. Now notice in verse 33 where... is it 33? No. We didn't finish it. They shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, notice in here, the Son of Man shall send his messengers, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity. Now, how is that done? That's done by the separation. God calling his people out, and he leaves the rest for judgment. And they're cast into a fire, the wailing and gnashing of teeth. That part is the great tribulation. Now, no watch then. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, notice, the glory of the celestial, which is the sun, is greater than the glory of the terrestrial, which it doesn't even mention. It could mention gold and silver and precious stones, which in some places it does. But then it says, the glory of the celestial differs, and it talks about the sun and the stars differing. And so therefore we find the bride has this promise of shining forth as the sun, because the Son of God has risen upon her. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians 15, we see that, which I read to you, 41:42, there's the glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, the glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So is the resurrection. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. So now, he's letting you know that from this one lump in which there are two seeds, that two lives, literally two soul lives, if you want to just call it lives, that's fine, that comes forth. There is the life which is of God and the life which Satan has interjected, and as you see them in this one lump, it is very disconcerting, and it is very difficult due to human reasoning and experience to actually believe what is being taught in this parable, but it's so just the same. So we have seen here that God himself specially ordained who would be his manifested children. Actually, he predestinated them on the grounds of foreknowledge of them being within him. That's the whole thing. He never made preparation for the devil and his angels as though they could exist and subside. Their preparation is made as hell. And that is their destination. In the meantime, they can just absorb the rain and the sun and till the earth, harvest the earth, and do everything the others are doing. But they're still serpent seed. So we have seen here that God himself specially has ordained who would be his manifested children, and in what form and in what way. God is the author of spiritual sexual birth, because you're looking at that, propagation, and rebirth by creating and forming man, and then imparting his own spirit to them. In plain language, God being spirit uses a natural formation from the earth, which is now properly endowed to propagate the God species on earth. Now, that's very difficult for people to understand. They don't want to hear anything about that. They just want to hear we're all of God. And everybody has the same chance. Everybody's equal. And, of course, they're telling us now that the only reason we have problems with people killing and raping and marauding is not because they're immoral. Heaven forbid, they are not immoral. They just don't have any money. Now, what about these immoral guys that rob the banks and have enough money? Say maybe they get $300,000 and they're not caught. How come they're not suddenly moral? I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the earth to burn. And if I get cast into hell before God, I want to have the privilege of stepping on their heads. I do not believe I'll go there. But I'm going to tell you, I hate the enemy of God with a perfect hatred. Amen. I had any time for all this junk out there. I got time for one thing. What does God's word say? Every man's word is a lie but God's. My word's a lie, your word is a lie. Your thoughts are vain, my thoughts are vain. Only one thing that counts. Now notice carefully, God as creator and omnipotent could have done otherwise. Yet he did not. The actual fact of the matter is God could not have done otherwise or he'd have lost his God-headedness. Many people have an idea that God sat back and he sort of manufactured himself. Well, I'm not going to argue with anybody, but I'm like Brother Branham. He said all God's thoughts he had in the beginning, and he couldn't have another thought after that. In other words, he's the complete compilation. Actually, there isn't a compilation. A compilation means you compile something. He didn't compile anything, he was. Difficult to talk about these things because they're beyond our reason. Therefore, we ought the more to believe them and thereby receive greater grace and insurmountable faith, and a joy that knows no ending. Yet he did not, for in his wisdom and love he came to this great premise. But Satan cannot create. Yet, if he will propagate, he can only follow God's example and use an existing creation and formation with the power of propagation, and so close to the human race, he can defile the agronomy or the farming of God, which Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, you are God's husbandry, you are God's farm. And that's what Satan did through the beast. Now, the reason I'm saying this is God does not have sexual affairs. Simply doesn't have sexual affairs. So what did he do? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which absolutely has to do with bodies, which has to do with sons. God placed the beginning of his genealogy, his generations, right in Jesus. And then he formed Adam of the dust of the earth in order to have vessels whereby his sons may come into manifestations. And he gave Adam a seed, which is simply an infinitesimal carrier of the life with its genetic pattern to bring forth male and female. And he did it by Eve. Now, without Eve, Satan would have got nowhere. Even if he had been a homosexual, he couldn't have enticed Adam. It wouldn't have done him any good if he had. That's the fallacy of homosexuality. They're so stupid. They ought to know they're not having a sex. There's something wrong with them. They can't be of God. That's why these idiots ordain women homos and men homos. And oh, it's good for a laugh if you go and get drunk, tell some dirty jokes. But in the meantime, It's the most blasphemous thing that anybody can hurl against God. You don't mix God up with sex. Get that junk out of your head. God had a male and female whereby he could propagate. Now seed are children before embryo. They're not even fetus. Seed is that which is very infinitesimal in its size, but it contains a genetic coding which under the proper circumstances should bring forth a beautiful child to God. I would hate to think that Eve had to look with any great love upon Cain after she bore Abel. I wonder if she went, yuck. Well, frankly, I don't think she did. I think she was pretty stupid. I think when she let the barrier down, she asked for it and she got it. That's why Brother Branham called her the prostitute. When an end-time prophet, the magnitude of William Branham, would say that prostitute Eve, I am more than a little inclined to believe, especially on the grounds when she said, I have gotten me a man from the Lord. Hogwash. She was a liar and she knew it. And the church has always been a liar. It's only the bride like Mary who said, be it unto me according to thy word, and then she told exactly what the word said and did. Oh my, that was a woman and a half right there. All right, but contrarywise, the Bible says of Cain in 1 John 3 that he was not born of God, but indeed was of that wicked one, the devil. And Jesus in John 8:41-48 actually branded almost the entire nation of Israel as serpent seed and fit for the burning. And Jude does the same thing in verses 1-3, which I know we read many, many times, little book before Revelation. And said, beloved, verse 3, when we gave all diligence to write unto you the comments of the common salvation, need for me to write unto you and exhort you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in of unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They're not in the book. They're just ordained to have spoken of them. Ungodly men turning the grace of God, our God, in lasciviousness and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them. Then he goes down to the Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he says concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, which is right now, verse 8, likewise these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak of the dignities. Yet Michael and the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke thee, speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally, as brute beasts. Now notice, they only know it as brute beasts. They don't have any real reasoning power. It's just what feels good, looks good, tastes good, and what they want. And if they can think of any reason why they should have it, though it's not their own, you know, kind of the caveman intellect, that's what they'll do. One to them, they've gone in the way of Cain. That's what Cain did. Didn't bother him. Spit right in the face of God. Greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsayings of Korah. And their spots before your feast and so on. And Peter has no qualms in pronouncing their end, even as Jesus did, for you find in 2 Peter 1-22 and then in 2 Peter 3:1-9 how that even at the time of the presence, where people begin to get an understanding of the presence of God, and the actual entering into the millennium begins to draw out, as it did when Moses led them out of Egypt, in order to further sanctify them and get rid of those that didn't belong, and to raise up those who did belong and get the prepared ones fully ready. They just shrug their shoulders and say, well, ain't nothing to nothing. Who knows anything anyways? And Peter goes on to say, look, I'm going to tell you something. Don't get impatient, because one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. And you better believe the one that came down to get the bride out, the same one came down pronouncing judgment. And you better believe that there is going to be not only a judgment after the bride gets out of here with his presence, but there's literally going to come to the place of where the earth is going to dissolve. Now, you notice that Peter brings in Paul. I should really take time to read this for you, but I'm not going to do it. And Peter said, Paul began to talk about the same thing. So we better go back and listen to Paul. And there are two books written on the second coming by Paul. That's 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the same as there are two books written on the second coming by Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. And there's other chapters also. So we go to 2 Thessalonians, and in there, in verses of chapter 1, verse 7 to 10, you find that at the time of tribulation problems, in other words, the tribulation is coming on the scene, there's the guarantee of trouble on the horizon. And it says, you that are troubled, relax. And the time of relaxation, the time when there's no more doubt, the time when it's no longer Protestants against Catholic and 600 Protestants with 600 ideas and 10,000 more with 10,000 more ideas, there's the definitive. Because if you're torn by about every interpretation of every doctrine, how can you relax? You haven't got any peace. You got peace in the sense, oh, I believe this. What if you believe wrong? You see, got to come a time when you believe right. Because there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And this is a time when there's no peace. So the whole world is in a John the Baptist condition. Even the bride is messed up. Revelation 3rd chapter. Nobody's got it. So you that are troubled, you that have this problem, and you have a problem, rest with us. Now, the world doesn't believe it's got a problem. The Pentecostals know they're right, and the Baptists know the Pentecostals are scurrying bedbugs, and they're right. And the Methodists know the Baptists are worse than scurrying bedbugs, because the stupid idiots believe in eternal security, and God knows there's no such thing. And the Mormons know they're the whole bunch are wrong. 7 million know they're wrong for the very reason they had a prophet. And the Muslims, they got a sword, and they'd just soon chop your head off. So you got this problem here. It says, in flaming fire, taking things in the known of God, and being not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished, and so on, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Now, that's very good. Now, verse 7 has to take place. That's the descent. And go to the very end, because this is all part of the seventh seal. Now, if you read 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, a couple of verses or four, now we beseech you, brethren, of the coming, that's the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering unto him. That's the message, gathering you, because he descends with the shout. And if you don't believe that, well, you say, well, that man's just guessing. No, the man was vindicated. And the word shout is actually klusma. The word klusma is what Dr. Hine and Dr. Hogg use. Other people use another word that doesn't pronounce it quite that way. And that's where you get over into 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, which is bring the church under subjection. So it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our coming under subjection to him, where he has become our head. The actual head. Now, if you know that Christ is your actual head, and you're the body, you know you're not going to miss it. So therefore, there has to be the definitive revelation of the head. Whereas Brother Branham said the major revelation of the seven seals was there is one God. And yet the Jesus only said, wonderful, we're right. They weren't right. Because the major revelation of one God corrected the error of Jesus only. That's why you get Mike's former pastor saying, I can show you right on tape where Lee Vail said there's two gods. Lee Vail quoted Brother Branham. Now there's two of them. So where is he? You see, you condemn... No, he's condemned himself. I have nothing to do with the man. I have nothing to do with any preacher. When I hear Brother Branham and I turn on Brother Branham, I am condemned. I can't point my finger at Brother Branham. I warned these preachers you're going to go Jesus only. They wouldn't listen. So I'll meet him. I have no problem. So, Brother Bill, you sound pretty nasty up there, and you're not a very nice guy. I never said I was a nice guy. I'm not interested in nice guys. They want to seduce you or cut your throats. Or they're so nice, they'd be happy if Lee Vail died and they can get this pulpit. Then watch how I would take over and God would bless, because look at me. I'd like to be, at that time, peeking around the corner. Because they fail to realize you people are nasty. You like my dry sense of ironic, miserable humor. Why should we put up with nonsense? See? Now let's read this here. That ye soon be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by letter. Now remember, one day is 1,000 years. Now Paul said, where is the promise of his presence? The promise of the presence is what? Number one, the shout. Number two, the voice. Number three, the taking up to the millennium. And number four, which is perfect deliverance, the pillar of fire you're taking right to the millennium. Now, between that time, you're going to be huffed and puffed. You're going to be bothered. You got a problem. Now, he said, don't let anybody fuss with you when that true word comes. Don't even quote Paul. Don't look for more letters. Don't look for anything. Because you've got your message. The shout is the message, which is the correction of the word, the restoration. See? The sealing in. Now watch, let no man deceive you by any means. Never mind what's interpolated. Except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, son of perdition is the twin that does the very same things that the son of man does. So now it tells you when the one comes down, he has to be the son of man in a ministry in the Holy Spirit, the same as this guy is the son of perdition or Judas or the devil in the spirit in a ministry. Now let's keep on reading. That opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship. So he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now it pinpoints him. When did the Roman Catholic Church become charismatic? In the 20th century, so the Pope will only be too happy to speak in tongues. I guess one or two, one has anyway, and different ones have. And it's all part of the Catholic Church now. And the charismatic and everything else is right there. And they're forgiving sin. They're telling you flat, listen, Billy Graham is concurring. Oh, yes, they got the same gospel I got. And they're saying, go and hear Billy, you'll come back a better Catholic. Merciful heavens. That's like saying you jump in between two Rottweilers and you'll come back without any bites on you. In fact, it's going to be something like the dragon blood. They slaver on you and no dog will ever bite you again. I mean, it's a mythology. It's mind-boggling what these birds come up with. Now he said, remember you not when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It was there. It was in Judas, and it's on down the line. It's coming and coming. And it's going to get really full when the Holy Spirit's taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Now watch. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now tells you until that time. Which literally is after the great tribulation. You got a problem. And that problem is to be patient. And know that you have a vindicated message. Stick with it. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. They both did very good jobs. See? So, all right. Now, so therefore, as in 2 Thessalonians 7:2, as in Peter, we find the scoffers. And they're not going to make it. So what we have said here this morning, or yes, it's Sunday morning and now this evening, is an extension of what we went into before on page 7 concerning the seed, because that is what he is talking about, two absolute veritable seeds. And it's on paragraph 7, page 7, paragraph 32, which denounces the theory that all human beings were and are of God. But the devil sowed error amongst them through Eve's and Adam's disobedience, so that God's children sank lower and lower, and some sank, and in no time at all became reprobates. And finally, the whole human race are reprobates, or pigs and dogs, awaiting the new birth to change them into sheep, from which they could fall again, if so desiring to go to their old ways. But all their doctrine about hogs becoming sheep is hogwash. This message of discrepancy tells the vindicated truth of the two seeds from two sources, which Paul described as one lump. Wherein God loved one before the child was even formed, when he was in the sperm state, and hated the other in the sperm state. Now, what happened is we've got these stinking cowbirds that lay their eggs in robins' nests and every other nest. And the poor mama bird doesn't have enough brains to kick the egg out. So the lousy cowbird runs around and fills every nest with her rotten, stinking progeny. And the rotten, stinking progeny is so big, and they hatch quicker than the other eggs, and their big mouths are open, and pretty soon they get all the food and the baby starves. And that's what even happened in the church. We got a cowbird religion. All right, we'll read again. Paragraph 32. Now we find when God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden. Now God didn't come down and have sexual intercourse with anybody. It says we find that it brought forth an Abel. Adam knew Eve and she brought forth Abel. So therefore that's God's child. God's child by a physical means. When Adam sowed his seed of discrepancy, it brought forth a Cain. Now, just a minute. He brought forth Cain. So who had sexual intercourse with her? The serpent did. She said, he fooled me. He beguiled me. He seduced me. I got pregnant by him. Oh, brother, don't say those things. I said it. If you're so nice, I'm sorry for you. I got news for you again. The serpent wasn't a four-footed elephant. And again, I'll ask a question. Have you ever seen a snake with hair on it?
He wasn't a hairy animal. Looked just like a man. Well, I wish people would just... You don't have to have my mind to be sharpened the wrong way. Remember when Brother Branham talked about that woman that does this snake dance? And he said she does it for sex and she gets a wall-eyed sensation that no man could give her? He was just telling you what happened in the Garden of Eden. Do you think for 1 minute it's changed from the Garden of Eden? People have an idea, you know, that there might have been something so pristine and so pure. He kind of looked at Eve through rose glasses and finally, you know, well, let's stop there. Merciful God. Look, we're people. We were mammals to begin with and we still are. There's certain things in there we were born with. And it's a cinch we've not improved on them. We've used them in ways they shouldn't have been used. But they were there and they're still there. You may be surprised to hear me say, when I hear millions of little babies being born out of wedlock, I say, at least thank God they ain't homosexuals. Not that I relish paying the taxes and my money for their filthy, rotten sins. But at least they're not homosexuals. Because that's why the curse of God is going to come in spite of all their talk. And the church is so nice and say, well, we're all reprobates and these dear little dogs can become sheep and these sweet little swine can go bad, bad, bad. Well, if they want to believe it, they can believe it. I don't believe it. God sowed his seed in the Garden of Eden. God's government on earth and brought forth Abel. When Satan sowed his seed, he brought forth Cain. And they both came from males through the female Eve. One brought forth a righteous one. One brought forth an unrighteous one. The same thing today under the seventh seal. They're separated. God gathered them out of his kingdom. Because that Eve listened to the word of discrepancy, contrary to the word of God, it started the ball of sin rolling right there and rolled ever since. We'll never get it out until the messengers come and segregate the thing and God takes his children to the kingdom, the tares will be burned. Notice their seeds grew together just exactly like God said over in chapter 13 of Matthew on our text tonight. Let them grow together. All one lump now. Before the flood, they weren't. But by the time of the flood, it was all over. Now Cain went to the land of Nod, found himself a wife and married, and Abel was slain, and God raised up Seth to take his place. No problem, same seed. And the generation started moving on. Generations, notice that word. And you notice the word generation also means a certain kind. So you had two generations, both of certain kinds of two sources. Never forget it. They're real people. They can think. They're smart, each one. They can eat, they can drink, they can propagate. They can be doctors, lawyers. They can be architects. They can be wonderful humanitarians. The jackass can put the horse to shame for working. And the Christian scientist can show more love many times than a child of God ever thought of doing. And the generation started moving on between right and wrong. That's Seth and Cain. Now we notice, until they gathered, that's they all became one lump. Each one of them, time after time, it got so wicked till God had to destroy it. All right, now watch. But they finally came forth. Now this is the omega of the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Out of the one lump. But they finally came forth until one of those seeds, the seed of discrepancy, that's Cain, and the seed of God, that was the one that came forth in Abel, then was replaced by Seth, And notice how it's coming down in the flesh, because there's an actual genealogy of Jesus. There's an actual natural election in the Bible concerning Jesus, so don't think there isn't. He is a man. The seed of God put forth their genuine heads. Now the seed put forth their genuine heads. Now who were their heads? God and Satan. So I don't know about that. Well, I do. I'll quote it for you. The head of Christ is God. Right? Then a seed finally put forth God. And a seed finally put forth the devil. Right? Right. The seed of God put forth God. The seed of the devil put forth the devil. So now you got an incarnation. And the seed of God put forth their genuine heads and wound up in Judas Iscariot. And in Jesus Christ. For he was the seed of God. He was the beginning of the creation of God, which meant God forming himself into human flesh. And how was it done? Just as you've been taught in Melchizedek, God came into Jesus in the River Jordan. He had a body, complete personality of Jesus waiting for him. And that's how Satan was with Judas. He said he was nothing less than God. Look, he's talking about in one place seed, the next place he's talking about head, and he said the seed comes to the place where the head comes down and takes over the seed. Oneness comes along and thinks Brother Branham is oneness, Jesus only. You know why? That's all they can read. They can't read anything else. That's where their training is. Two and two make three and five eighths. So they're two and every time they hear two and two, three and five eighths. Never mind what the truth is. Never mind the vindication. Never mind the prophet said the greatest revelation of the seventh seal was one God. And the seventh seal corrected the error. Oh, we didn't have an error. Isn't it wonderful how Brother Branham had the vision, this oneness? She was beautiful, she was coiffed, her hair was all marcelled up, and she had the gunk and goo on her puss, her face up here, and oh man, she looked great, and she had Brother Branham's hand, but Mr. World came by, she had to him and grabbed Mr. World, went right down the road, never looked back. And this oneness, why man, she wasn't near that beautiful. She had her skirts longer and stupid looking hair, it was long too. She kind of looked like something the cat almost dragged in. Alongside of Miss Beautiful, Goo-Ga, Trinitarian, Pentecostal, Miss Assemblies of God. And she had a hold Brother Branham's arm, going to go someplace. Whoop, here comes Mr. World. Why, she dropped Brother Branham like a hot brick and grabbed his hand, went down the road and took one little look back and went on. And the oneness are trying to tell you in the vindicated vision, they're right. Hogwash. They're organized creeds and dogmas. Now, you do what you want about Brother Branham's visions. He explained them. You don't have to believe. If eight people make the ark, we've got far too many here. Got to shake at least, what, all but six off or something, sir? I hope you're getting this serious. I make a little laugh out of it. I hope you get the seriousness that the people do not believe what we are saying. That's why they like to burn my tapes and hate my guts and all the time. Then they got to come around and say the same thing I say, but they don't know how to say it. They're too late. See? He was nothing less than God. Absolutely, God was nothing less than God in this seed that came right on down. And this is my perfect son. This is the great seed. I am the source of the great seed. See? So, Judas gets the same thing. Jesus was the Son of God, the Word of God made manifest. Sure, because he's a prophet, and a prophet is the Word of God made manifest. Judas Iscariot, in his discrepancy, was the seed of the devil. He sure was. Come into the world for deceit. Now he says here, he came into the world for deceit. So therefore the act of betrayal was merely contingent to his original plan and seeing that the betrayal and death might just be the best way to perpetrate the great deceit. If I read what Brother Branham said, that's the conclusion I got to come to. Judas just didn't come to destroy Christ. And the same spirit at the end time in Hebrews 6, they don't even know they're crucifying to themselves the Son of God. But they're here for one thing, which is deceit, which is discrepancy. The altering of the Word of God. And the altering of the Word of God comes from a refusal to believe the doctrine as God has laid it down. That's exactly why Cain refused the blood. So I'll just bypass that. I don't need it. I'm not serpent seed. I wasn't born this way. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've got a right in this thing. Quite a character, that guy. Judas Iscariot, in his discrepancy, was the seed of the devil. He sure was. The devil was in him. Came into the world for deceit, just like he was at the beginning. Cain, his former father. Now, what's his lineage? His lineage is Cain. Now, why is there not somebody named who's the father of Cain? Because he was just a beast, the serpent. He didn't have a name. His name wasn't George or Bill or Mr. Brown or Mr. Johnson or something. He was the beast. His ancestral father. See? Okay. Judas only played church. He was a make-believer. He wasn't really sincere. He didn't actually have faith. Or he never would have betrayed Jesus. You know how it is? The Bible says, as many as believed were ordained unto eternal life. If you weren't ordained to eternal life, you didn't believe. Now you can make a pretty good make-believer. And pretend you believe it, you're never going to make it. You see, he sowed that seed to discrepancy. Now, read again. Judas only played church. He wasn't really sincere. He didn't actually have faith. He'd have never betrayed Jesus. That lets you know that you'll never betray Jesus if you have the true faith of God, which is the true revelation. But you see, he sowed that seed of discrepancy. He thought he could make friends with the world, mammon, he carried the purse, of course, and also have friendship with Jesus. But it was too late for him to do anything about it. Now, the point of the matter is, when reading the Greek, you can find that Judas did not hate Jesus. The Bible distinctly said he greeted him with an affectionate kiss. He found that Jesus was a very fine person. He liked him. But according to him, this was not it. And you've got a lot of nice people right today. And they'll say, well, Brother Branham had a great ministry, and I think that he was a good man, all right. But you see what it was? It went to his head. A little Kentucky hillbilly, he just got two big free britches. He had this great ministry. It's like everybody else, Dowie and the whole bunch, he blew it. Well, hey, that means then, in other words, there's no such thing as Elijah coming. That's what they're telling you. They've already taken it out of the Bible. You've got the seed of discrepancy right there. Changed it. Said, well, what about Elijah? Well, I really don't know. Then why don't you shut up? Well, they ain't going to shut up. Once they throw their mouths into gear, before their brain goes into gear, there's no way you're going to stop them. There's no way you're going to stop. Once they've got a little of this air for grist for their brain mill, they're going to spew nothing but lies. And you know something? The more they tell those lies, the better it gets. And the more, you know, the more information they have, the more fuel they have, and the more power they have. And that's what's wrong with God's people. They do everything but talk the word. Bible distinctly says that man's belly should be satisfied with the fruit of his lips and with the increase thereof. Like the old fish story. Hey, what? How big was that fish? Well, it was 12 inches long. It was only 8 inches. Goes in his ears, down in his belly, comes out his mouth. How was that fish? Well, he said it was really 16 inches long. And the more he tells it, the more he likes it. Pretty soon he's got the whale that Jonah had leased on for 3 days and nights. He loves it. That's the way the word is. People don't believe it, but it's true. Why? Look, the word of God may be supernatural, but you and I are not natural, supernatural. We are natural. So therefore, the supernatural word of God goes by natural laws. Which is, you read it or you hear it, it goes in your mind, you put it down here, you cogitate, you talk about it, comes out here, goes in here, reads through the eyes, goes down again. It gets greater and greater. That's where faith comes from. People don't want to do it, they don't want to do it. Sooner play rummy. More mumbly peg dominoes. TV, everything else. Yeah? I know. I could talk to them blue in the face. You're going to do what you want to do, I'm going to do what I do anyway. I'm not here to ride hurting anybody. I just let the word go where it falls with you and me. That's what happens. The word of God is God's own word, and he's going to take care of it. All right, now, he thought that he could make friends with the world, mammon, and also have friendship with Jesus, but it was too late for him to do anything about it. When the dead hour came, when he did this evil thing, he crossed the separating line between going forward and returning back. Now, normally say turning back, but I like the word returning back because in returning back, it means that he went right back to the same spot and took up where he left off and got worse. Because you see, you can turn back and then start all over again some other direction, but this guy didn't. He had to go on in the way that he went, see, as a deceiver. He sowed the seed of discrepancy. He wouldn't stay with the word of God as taught by Jesus. He tried to find favor with those great organizations of that day. Now, Brother Branham is talking to full gospel businessmen and the Pentecostals with the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, remember, the Pharisees and Sadducees were at each other's throat, but they got together over Jesus. Now, they got together over the end time over Jesus. Brother Branham preaching it. And thought he'd make himself a piece of money and would be popular amongst the people. Now, you're talking about guys like Balaam and what have you. If that doesn't cause so many people to get that discrepancy, trying to find favor with man, let's find favor with God, not with man. But that's what Judas did, and when these discrepancies headed up in him. Now, he's letting you know here that as Judas started out, he did not start with the idea that he would not retain his integrity and be a religious man. See? He didn't say, well, I want to tell you something, there's nothing to it. I thought there might be a God and things looked like there could be, but no. He retained his same position as a religious man. This was not a communist that did this. This was not an unbeliever that did this. This was a believer. And he came face to face with reality. And he went back to where he was and went beyond where he was, right to the place that he actually committed suicide. Which means that he is a type of the people right today crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh. They're not going back and saying there's nothing to it. They say there's nothing to this William Branham stuff. I made a mistake. I just don't go for that anymore. These guys over here are right, after all. I must apologize. It's like Cardinal Newman. Of course, the Protestants say the Catholics set Newman up to become a Protestant in order to go back and be a Catholic. I don't know. I haven't got an idea what it was, but Newman went back on Protestantism and I can tell you one thing, if he was a Catholic and tried to fool the Protestants and went back to where he was and worse than ever, he's going to have a very fine place in hell, one of the very best, without a doubt. I don't envy him at all, but I can assure you right now that that's where he is. There's no way you can be a Roman Catholic. No way at all. Unless you deny emphatically what they stand for. You couldn't do it today. Way back hundreds of years ago, you might have got away with it. Today, there's no such a thing because ignorance is not winked at anymore. Do you think God's winking at ignorance today when Brother Branham came forth vindicated and there's the picture? The world doesn't even want to know about it. They're not interested. See, there's where you and I stand. That's the difference. Now, we know that Jesus was the Word. St. John 1 said, the beginning is the Word is in God, and the Word was God. The Word is made flesh and dwelt here amongst us. Now, you know Brother Branham categorically said, if you make Jesus the Word, you got three gods. What's he telling you here? He's telling you here that God became the Word through the flesh of Jesus Christ. Then the Word is a seed. Then the seed became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, see, he's telling you that. The Word. Jesus was back there as a part of the Word and became that seed of God where propagation lay. He came down here and became a man. Absolutely in that seed that came forth from the womb of Mary, which was a created sperm and egg, and that very life of that only begotten Son was right there in that seed, reduced down to the size of a sperm. Came forth as that baby grew up. And the River Jordan, around 30 and a half years of age, whatever it was, God simply came and took the vessel over temporarily until the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, 38, if Judas was the seed of the enemy and the discrepancy, now we're going to the noun, an actual discrepancy. It also became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Judas Iscariot. He never had any real faith. He had what he thought was faith. There's such a thing as having faith and a make-believe faith. Now, here is where you got to watch again. These are your two vines, and they are both religious. The Bible is a religious book. It is not a political book. It devotes hardly any time on the history of politics and cares less. It devotes its time on the spiritual history. It tells you the beginning and the end and makes all the differentiations in there that you and I need to know. So therefore, when Brother Branham speaks in this language, he is speaking absolutely true. We don't care about Joe Stalin. We don't care about Genghis Khan. We don't care about Muhammad. We don't care about Confucius. We don't care about Mao Zedong. We don't care about anybody. We're not interested in Caesar, Pompeius, Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, Philip, Darius, we're not interested. They're a part of history, we recognize that. What we recognize and is only recognized in the Bible are these two seeds sown in the Garden of Eden that come to fruition. And we not only saw the seeds in the fullness of the climax of what a seed was intended to be, but we see the sower of the seed incarnating the seed. So that's what you're looking at. That's what Brother Branham is saying. Now you got these seeds here today, and we're looking for another incarnation. Already we know the incarnation will soon take place because the two ministries have taken place. The presence of the Son of Man ministry, the presence of the Son of Perdition ministry. And now they're over and there's a lull. Our patience is being tested. Everything about us is being tested. You wonder, is God doing this healing? Is God doing that? God can do a whole lot of things if we just let Him do it. It seems there's not been so much of a rest amongst the people of God as there's been a curious form of indolent backsliding, rather than meeting the issues. I want to tell you, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He heals the sick. The prayer of faith is still available. Too many people are just too lazy. too far away from God to believe and don't believe they can do it when it can be done. These are some of the dangers. Well, we got the word, hallelujah. The other bunch say, well, we got the word and you're doing nothing and we're doing everything. Hogwash, they're doing everything. When a hen can blow on people and they fall down black and white alike and big testimonies come forth of being healed and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that blowing and that spirit is of the devil, I'm not interested. He's another Judas. Oh, don't say that. Well, shut up. I'll say what I want to say. The prophet said that falling down is the wrong spirit. Come up here and challenge me. Bless God, I'm 80 years old and I can't kick your guts out of me. Stop gumming you to death. I'll take a poke at you right in this pulpit. Unless somebody holds me down. I mean it. Don't give me that stuff. Oh, Brother Bale, you better watch your tongue. It could be your God. I'll tell you, God's behind it all right, and the power of God does heal, but that spirit that's doing that, the falling down on all is a false anointing, is of hell, because Brother Branham said so, and I trace it right to Lorne Fox, and Fox admits it. And William Branham, my people want to sit around and be a bunch of Pentecostals. Good God, not even Pentecostals. Ain't none of you can run around the building and really do a cut-up. How fast can you play on that piano? I'm a nasty guy. I do it on purpose. I'll shake you right down to your livers and get the understanding. Hey, listen. This stuff in chaff is gone. It's poison. It's dead. It's condemned. It's going to burn. And there's manifestation to everything. I haven't got to it tonight. I wish we'd have had time, but I never have time for what I want to get to. Time's all gone anyway. Maybe tomorrow morning we just might get down to some of these other things we want to talk about. Anyway, the two seeds, that's it. One's of God, one's the devil. It's all one of them. The foundation of God stand assured. The Lord knoweth them which are his. And Brother Branham said a virgin birth ain't nothing compared to an ordinary birth where God has to trace that cell sperm down through trillions and trillions of male ejaculates to millions of men. You talk about a computer. A computer that goes 0000999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 trillions. You talk about bites. God doesn't deal in bites. He deals in swallows. Well, figure it out. Human speaking, the male ejaculate of a billion men. God knows every single one. Oh, man. Why would he do it? Because he's God. He likes doing things like that. I know I mean a nasty when I say those things. Look, it's simply the truth. A virgin birth is nothing compared to the intricacy of bringing forth a child to God. Where Brother Branham could say, you were a part of your father and your mother was a part of your father and you're all a part of him. Oh, brother, sister. That's the truth. That's the truth. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time fellowship we have around your word, the grace of God that allowed us to be a part of it. We thank you for it, Father, and we want to be more and more serious, no matter what edge it takes, no matter what cutting it takes, no matter what, to be more and more serious concerning this word. If it takes a 4x4 club, a baseball bat, it takes a sword, it takes a grinder, it takes an earthquake, it takes the falling of the heavens, whatever it takes, Lord, that men and women become absolutely solid with the word and cannot be shaken any way, shape, and form, but know positively that there are two seeds and we are one or the other, and that takes the end of it. And there is a way to know in this hour which is which, and once that is given, then there is no room for any other indication, contraindication, puzzlements, conundrums, enigmas, or anything under God's high heaven, Lord, that would stop.
Thou stumble your people any way, shape, and form, because it is a clear cut at this end. Absolutely, as we find the Apostle Paul telling us, though, and as William Branham told us. And there isn't any other way to be told, and there isn't any other way to be known. It is all the Word of God, which cannot lie, and which cannot, under any circumstances, be circumscribed or in any way hindered from bringing forth the fullness of a perfect fruit. And that's exactly what we're going to see. And we're seeing part of it now demonstrated by vindication. May we walk in the light, Lord, as you're in the light, having fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin. May your name be glorified, Lord, even through us. We like that thought very much, and we pray you hear our prayer to that end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're just going to read a little bit, and the brethren come forward right away now so we can line up and we'll change the order a little bit. Those who play the instruments are going to have communion at the end of the service like those up here do, in order that we have a great, easier and greater flow of continuity. So as the emblems are ready here, we'd like you to come to the back like you normally do and just come right along. And we have room back here for men to walk for washing out there in the vestibule, back in the back. And that's the way it is. So let's get up and read the scripture and all stand up. And you want to start forming a line just pretty quick here. And the brethren are ready? All right. For I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Wouldn't it be great if Paul received something and then didn't deliver it? Now you see the responsibility of those that have a ministry. They must deliver. And the messenger, which is a prophet, that's why he's a prophet, to deliver. What does he do? He delivers the message. He delivers it exactly as it was given. It's perfect. When he given thanks, he broke it, said, take ye, this is my body broken for you, this in remembrance of me. Same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood, this do ye, so oft drink in remembrance of me. So oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread. Drink of that cup, or he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eats and drinks in damnation or condemnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weakly and sick among you, and many sleep. I wonder if we really many times do discern the Lord's body and to the extent. Do we have an actual understanding of exactly who it was that came down and died upon Calvary? And there's a bunch that say, well, he was God the Son. I beg to differ. He is not God the Son. He's the Son of God. And that body was born of a woman. That body was not God. That body was called Jesus because Jesus was named after his father. And his father's name was Jesus. And the boy's name was Jesus. Now, if you begin to understand those things, I can tell you right now, you're beginning to discern that body. You're beginning to know who it is. Of course, Latter-day and the rest of them, they all want to discern the body by saying that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bunch of believers. Well, you could sneak that in there, all right, I suppose. If you're going to do that, then you're going to come right back to that. What is the body all about? It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you better know who he is, what he is, what he's doing, what he inquires. For then you've got your own body. You're right back in the days of Elisha where they all gathered all this pottage and somebody threw some poison in. But I got news for you. They brought the word of God along and corrected it. Today we have the correction, brother, sister. We know who he is. That those don't study Melchizedek, who is this Melchizedek? They don't know who he is. I'm sorry, I'm telling you right flat, they don't know because they phoned me. Brother Bill, what do you mean? I can show you Brother Bill preaches two gods. He says there's two of them. I never said there were two gods. I said there's two people. I quoted the prophet. And I ask you, what do they believe in? Where do they qualify? Then is this a reality? I can see old Judah standing right here doing it. He's happy to be called one of them. Oh, he'll take the Lord's Supper. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's a hypocrite.
Well, you tell me man full of the Holy Ghost, then you're a God if you should be full of the Holy Ghost to do this. You tell me man full of the Holy Ghost doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, who doesn't know who God is, who doesn't understand the Scriptures, say, blessed be the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about Jesus, the Son of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They can't even read that. Then you're going to try to make me believe they're going to read this? Now tell me where 18 people make the ark. Hold your wrist out so I can kiss it. Here's the Bible. See where you're stuck? This is the word test of getting in the ark. This is what it's all about. And I can feel very crude to you people and very facetious. Let me tell you, this word isn't. It's where it isn't. It says you right here. Paul received that revelation. And he knew to whom he was speaking and who was speaking to him. And he said, that one made his son known to me. Talked all about him. Examine yourself. Because you see, if you're drinking to another person, that's why Brother Branham said, God raised the body. God raised the body. He raised the person. Called to the body. So you look at the body, huh? Intercessor, mediator, now on the throne. That one died. Do you discern? Judge? Tell me who does. Now look, if we get these things and really believe them, there's going to be one sick person amongst us. Take this message for your healing. Oh, brother, sister, listen, we've got a lot to go by, so let's go by it. All right, that's the way it is. Let's bless the emblems in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of taking these emblems, and we believe with all of our hearts we know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that body that hung upon Calvary's cross, that body that housed the only begotten Son of God, that one that was that equal to him, that firstborn who had become the firstborn from the dead, that is now at the right hand of the Majesty on high, that one, Lord, that died upon Calvary, whose blood we drink an emblem and whose body we eat an emblem. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. We do that before you tonight, knowing full well that this is the truth. Whatever merits are lying there, Lord, we claim, and there all the merits are there, according to Isaiah 53. We claim those merits, Lord, as never before, drinking under ourselves not condemnation, but drinking under ourselves commendation in the blessing of the Lord God that came from it all. Now unto him be glory, unto him be great glory and great good to thy people who continue to praise thy name and worship thee and show forth thy majesty. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.